What's that? Who pays your salary? What's that? Who pays? What's that?
We're not a democracy!
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Decisions. This is the Tyler Morgan Show live on twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show. Or maybe you're checking this out later on the YouTube, youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow. Don't know why there's the at or the, but it is what it is. All right, so lots of stuff to get into this week. And I'm just knocking everything down. And I'd like to apologize because everything's all kind of wonky right now because we had some power outages earlier this week and I haven't been in the office to see how bad everything was kind of jacked up. But I'm here and great times. But before I get into the wild and wackiness of the week, normally, I would go with one of my show partners, whether it's Blue Collar Beardsman or APR Coffee, but instead I'm going to do something a little different. This was not asked of me, but I want to share it with you because I thought this was just so well done, and I think everyone should see it. There is a documentary it's from Mossy Oak. It's out on YouTube. Anyone can watch it. I'll make sure that on YouTube I put the little card up there so you can go to it. It's called The Colonel and the Fox. This was made by a friend of mine who owns Slate and Glass. It's a video production company, and they have done lots of great work. They've employed my dad a number of times for commercials and other videos they've done. And so when they were asked by Mossy Oak to kind of do like a short documentary on Colonel Tom Kelly and Fox Hayes, because these are two of the oldest, if not the oldest, turkey hunters in the country. And as they started filming, started doing the interviews with Tom Kelly and Fox Hayes, they realized there's way more to their story than just two old guys who have been turkey hunting for almost 80 years and how much it paralleled the history of modern turkey hunting in America and the rebound from a bird that was nearly extinct in some parts of the country to more turkeys than we've ever had. And so it's a great, great documentary, well shot. And the way that, like I said, their stories run parallel to the turkey reintroduction in the United States. It's very well done. Check it out on YouTube, The Colonel and the Fox. It's a Mossy Oak, again, full-length, hour and 20-minute documentary. You know, so please check it out. It is such great work from my friend Nathaniel. It is absolutely amazing. I think all would really, really enjoy it. And I'll include the link to that in the show notes for the podcast listeners as well. So getting into the wild world of wackiness that is the American political system. For years, there has been an effort, some would say, to enhance the Electoral College. Others would say, like from my point of view, to completely undermine it. And that is the interstate, national popular vote compact. And this is, as it sounds, a way to completely undermine the Electoral College. Because if you look at it, so we've had like five instances in the United States where the president who wins the election loses the popular vote. Donald Trump, George W. Bush, and I forget the other instance that this happened. But the National Popular Vote Movement loves, absolutely loves, this whole idea that regardless of how your state votes, if the person your state didn't vote for wins the national popular vote, well, piss on all of your voters in your state. Well, we've signed this compact, and even though you voted for the Democrat, the Republican won the national popular vote, so that they're going to get all of our, you know, Electoral College votes. And this is something that, like I said, is possibly one of the most insidious attacks on our democracy. We're not a democracy. We are a republic. But the whole idea that you can just throw out the way your state voted,
well, we've agreed that this is what we're going to do.
Now, my question is, if, let's just say, for argument's sake, Donald Trump in 2024 wins the popular vote. I know. As I said, I did say, for argument's sake. And they got enough states, because I think Maine's legislature just approved it, and there's no guarantee that the governor will sign off on it.
It's a Democrat, she probably will.
And they're like, what is it, like 57 votes? If they get a total of 57 more electoral vote states to agree to this compact, so when they have 270, then what happens when a Republican does win the national popular vote? How quick will they be to go,
well, shoot, we didn't foresee this when we started this compact, so I guess we're going to go ahead and go with it.
So then you have Democrat states who voted for the Democrat, obviously. Are you really going to just, you know, give them a great big F you and give their votes to the Republican? Is that really what's going to happen? Because for some reason, you might say, well, Tyler, you're being kind of cynical on this. I don't think they would ever do that. I absolutely believe they would go,
we're just joking, guys. This is non-binding.
Because it absolutely undercuts everything that America was built on. You have a lot of misinformed people who look at the presidential election as a national popular vote. It's not. It's 50 individual votes. And these votes, these 50 individual elections, because this is how a republic works, tells the state which slate of electors you're going to send to D.C. to ultimately cast the ballots that will elect the president. So they're wanting to undermine that whole idea of republic for this crazy idea of democracy.
Well, it's a democracy. One man, one woman, one vote.
Uh-huh. Well, again, since when in America's history have we been a democracy? We've had little bits of it here and there where, for whatever reason, we establish, you know, like especially colonies early on, where, you know, the pilgrims who landed at Plymouth were like proto-communists, because they took the very extreme biblical Book of Acts, you know, pull all of your resources and, you know, divvy it out as needed, and they nearly starved because they realized it didn't work. They realized that there were people who their houses were on land that was better suited for growing this crop. Well, this person's land isn't good for crops, but it's got some good hardy grasses that the cattle do really well eating on. So they started dividing stuff up. This guy, he doesn't have enough open grassy area to have a farm or to have some livestock. But he's got trees. Oh, he's got trees for days. I know he can be a lumberjack. He can cut down trees that we use the wood for. So that's how that one turned around. But when you go back and you look at the way our founders weighed and debated every possible point, they knew that democracies do not last. They knew republics don't last. But republics have a far better shot at lasting than democracies. Because with a democracy, eventually it gets to the point of, you know, whatever the ruling party is, made up and constantly put in place by the majority of the public voting on them, or even just direct democracy where every small little minutia of governance is voted on by everybody. They knew it would fail. Because it happened in the past where you have these democracies that just fizzle out because eventually they elect a strong man who then, you know, just absorbs power. Well, I'm here, so yeah, good luck. God bless you not getting rid of me. But again, it goes back to this whole idea. Of everything the founders did was wrong.
Well, surely the founders couldn't foresee blah, blah, blah.
You know what? These were some of the most learned men of their day. You can have a lot of feels about Ben Franklin and his immoral libertine lifestyle. But that doesn't mean he wasn't a thinker. The dude liked to sleep around. The dude used what was below the belt to be able to get in with the French court to convince the French to back us during the revolution. You're going to deny that Ben Franklin wasn't worth listening to? Sure, Thomas Jefferson had some rather, you know, conflicting views on humanity, you know, because the guy who wrote all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That guy owned slaves. And if you believe rumors, he bedded or raped those slaves because, you know, apparently he was just a lonely, bitter old man who had nothing better to do after, you know, his wife got sick and died. George Washington, the first president of the United States, was a slave owner for years. For the longest time, he didn't like the idea of, you know, having free blacks volunteer in the military when fighting England. It wasn't until England started conscripting free blacks and offering freedom to black slaves that Washington changed his mind on, you know, having an integrated military. And it was further still before he realized that, you know, slavery was wrong, and before he died, he freed those slaves that he had. No one would make the argument that the Founding Fathers were these perfect, nearly Christ-like paragons of virtue. They were as conflicted as anybody of the day. But that does not mean they weren't thinking into the future. During, you know, you'll hear these arguments about,
the Second Amendment, the founders couldn't have imagined assault rifles and these guns that shoot all these rounds per minute.
Well, they had a number of patents that went through during the Revolutionary War. The last time I checked, the Revolutionary War started in 1776. And it was over before we wrote the Constitution. And when you have Revolutionary War era patents going through for things like the puckle gun, which were, you know, repeating firearms, you know, before the modern repeating firearm was invented in the 1800s. I'm pretty sure they could have seen what could have become with weaponry back then. But it's not that hard to imagine these guys sitting around going, well, we've come this far. What do you think a fair way of ensuring good representation for a presidential election? Why not just national popular vote? Well, if we do a national popular vote, you're going to have small states that don't get much representation, and their votes won't matter. So if we assign a slate of electors based off the congressional representation, then when the people vote for the president, those electors, they'll be the ones who go forth to the Capitol, Philadelphia at the time, and then they'll cast a vote that is representative of the people who sent them there in the first place. I mean, that's some way advanced 3D chess thinking on the parts of the founder. When they decided that, you know, we're going to have a bicameral legislature with two houses. We're going to make one that's going to be the representatives of the people. They're going to, be there for 2 years. And then after that 2 years, they'll be up for election again. If the people think they did a crap job, they'll get rid of them. They'll replace them. And then we're going to have a house that's more long-term thinking. We're going to have them serve 6 years. But instead of being, representative of the whims of the people, we're going to have them be selected by the states, which, thank you, was it the 17th Amendment? I don't remember which amendment was off the top of my head that gave us the Senate is now elected by the people of the states, not the state governments. That's one of those where I think we'd be better off they turned it around. Then you wouldn't have red states sending up Democrat senators. Or maybe you get red states sending up senators that are just as bad as the Democrats, even though they have the same party affiliation. And again, this is more of why we have the Electoral College. Sure, when the Electoral College first started voting, they would send up their delegates, and the delegates could vote for whomever they chose. Should they want to break from what their state's voters said, if you have, Tommy Smith going in for the state of Delaware, and the state of Delaware voted one way, because back then they didn't have two slates of elect Republicans, one for the Democrats. Although back then they had one for the Republican Democrats and the Whigs. You didn't have these two slates. So when the governor sent whoever they were to cast their votes for the Electoral College, regardless of who Delaware voted for, Tommy the voter, or the Electoral College member, could cast his vote for whomever he pleased. But now we don't have that. Now we have the voters, or you have each state, basically the party, selects a slate of electors, sends them to D.C. based on which state, which candidate and their party won the presidential election. So they'll either send the Democrat voters or Electoral College slate, or they'll send the Republicans, and then they go and they vote along the party line. Now, what do you do if you're a voter and you vote for Joe Biden or whomever? And then, you know, with this compact, and they literally, they actually honor the compact. You're from Illinois. You vote for Biden. Trump wins the national popular vote. And then Illinois, who is one of the signatories, goes, "Oh, well, shucks, folks. I know you really wanted Joe Biden, but now all of our electors are going to, we're be sending up the Republican slate of electors because we agreed to this compact." How quickly will that compact be broken up because of the voters? Because when you, there's, it's one thing to say you're disenfranchising voters because you're clearing felons from the voter rolls. You're clearing dead people from the voter rolls. You're removing voters who registered 20 years ago and never cast a ballot.
I registered when I got my driver's license.
Have you voted ever since then?
No. Nope, never do. I just get registered.
Taking a vote or removing a person like that from the voter rolls is disenfranchising no one because they're not voting. Unless you have someone voting in their name because, yeah, you're engaging in voter fraud, but I would never, ever, 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 ever lay out an accusation like that in this world because, you know, you make those accusations, people tend to get a little pissy for some reason. So all this stuff about disenfranchising voters. What could be more disenfranchising than your state saying, we don't care who you voted for. National popular vote said this guy won. And we signed the paper saying that if the other person wins the popular vote, we will give up the electors to vote for the national popular vote winner. Imagine being in a state that voted so heavily that, you know, the presidential candidate wins by like a 2-1 margin. A million votes are cast. 600,000 are for the president or for the candidate they choose. 300,000. I said, I know a million votes. 666,666 are for one, for candidate A. Candidate B gets 333,333. And the person with the 333,333 votes, their electors are the ones that go to D.C. What do you do if you're the other two-thirds of voters who literally had your vote just thrown out for no reason other than, you know, politicians did political things and it screwed the voters? I know one thing. I would probably be staking my, you know, planning my stake to go to Jeff City. And I'm going to oust whoever I have to oust in my district. I will unseat a Democrat. I will work to unseat a Republican and primary them out and then go to my Capitol and bust my ass to ensure that that interstate compact is dissolved and we are no longer part of it, because there's no sense in continuing to follow along because,
well, the previous guys agreed to it.
No. Burn it to the ground. Throw it out. Do not let that kind of cancer metastasize. Period. End of story.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, so getting back to it, let me tell you about coffee. Yes, coffee, that wonderful, wonderful beverage that wakes you up and keeps you going throughout your day. If you're like me, you drink a lot of coffee. And if you're also like me, you're stuck with whatever cheap swill they offer at work. When I get home, I want good coffee. I don't want just some generic
coffee.
I want American Pride Roasters. American Pride Roasters makes the finest coffee that I have ever had, with great blends of beans from around the world, great flavors if you know you're into that sort of thing. Yeah, like the Abraham Lincoln coffee, which is a blend that combines the amazing coffee flavors of coffee beans, obviously, with cocoa nibs. That way you kind of get that chocolatey flavor mixed in with the coffee goodness, like that mocha flavor that people really seem to like. Or if you're like me, you just like plain black coffee, you don't want the flavors added to it. There are so many great flavors. The Calvin Coolidge, the Teddy Roosevelt, the Frederick Douglass. So many great flavors that you should just honestly buy them all and see what you like. Like the one flavored coffee I have from there is the Doc's Bacon Blast, which has, you know, that bacon flavor mixed with the coffee. It's like drinking your country style breakfast. Absolutely amazing flavors. And also check out the coffee drops. You get a blend of yummy, yummy chocolate drops with the ground up flavor of espresso beans. Or I think they use regular coffee beans in it, not espresso beans per se, but what's all good. Check them out, American Pride Roasters, APRcoffee.com. Historically great coffee. All right, so in a world of sheer dumb, we'll go back to some election stuff real quick. If I pull up the right article on my phone. So there's already starting to be some issues about candidates being on the ballot. You see, every state has a deadline on when a candidate needs to be declared. That way they can make it onto the general election ballot. the state of Ohio, that date is August 7th. Well, Tyler, what's the problem? Well, you see, the Democratic National Convention, in which they will name the presumptive presidential candidate to be the presumptive presidential candidate, Joe Biden, as the official candidate for the Democrat Party. And that's not until August 19th, a full 12 days after the deadline. Now, I know it seems like it's just sheer malarkey because, I know, I used the Joe Biden word. Because, you know, Joe is the presumptive nominee. Because Democrats worked really, 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 really hard to keep other Democrats from trying to primary Joe Biden. I mean, look at what they did with RFK Jr. RFK Jr. was a victim of that. The Democrat Party working against him because, well, Joe's bringing in all the money. Why would we go with someone else? Anyways, Ohio Secretary of State on Friday signaled that the Democratic National Convention may take place too late for President Joe Biden to appear on the general election ballot in the state, according to a letter obtained by NBC News. The Democratic National Convention is scheduled to convene on August 19th, which means the vote probably wouldn't be until August 20th, which occurs more than a week after the August 7th deadline to certify a presidential candidate to the office. Secretary of State Frank LaRose wrote to the Ohio Democratic Party chairwoman Liz Walters. ABC News first reported about the existence and content of this letter. In the note, LaRose goes on to say that the oversight can be rectified in two ways. Either the Democrat Party moving up its nominating convention or by getting the Ohio State Legislature to, quote, create an exemption to the statutory requirement, end quote, by May 9th in accordance with state law. Ohio State Representative Allison Russo, the State House Minority Leader, and State Senator Nikki Antonio, the State Senate Minority Leader, were also copied on LaRose's letter. A spokesperson for the Biden campaign told NBC News that the campaign is monitoring the situation in Ohio, and we're confident that Joe Biden will be on the ballot in all 50 states. As a major political party, the Democratic Party appears on all ballots in 50 states. In the primary contest earlier this year, Biden opted not to appear on the ballot in New Hampshire because its primary was held in violation of the Democratic National Committee, which approved a calendar that would have seen South Carolina hold its primary first, even though by law, New Hampshire is the first primary. Isn't that weird how parties think they can just do whatever they want? Because Joe Biden in 2016, he didn't fare well in the Iowa caucuses. He didn't fare well in New Hampshire. So what did they do this time around? Because apparently they're scared that the sitting president is actually going to have some issues winning in those states. He just chose not to participate. He Kobayashi Maru. He went with the lesson learned in war games. The only way to win is to not play. So then he appears with the first state that he actually had any sort of, you know, victory in, South Carolina. I mean, wouldn't that just absolutely be hilarious if the Ohio legislature just kind of sat on it, slow walked it, didn't do anything, and Joe ended up not on the ballot in Ohio. I mean, I personally would not be upset at all. I would find it hilarious when the party that is all about representation and making sure all voters are enfranchised, that way they have the ability to vote for whomever they please, and they can't vote for president because Joe Biden didn't get on the ballot. That would be awesome. Forget, you know, the complaints that, you know, someone was going around telling Ohioans in 2004 that their day to vote was on Wednesday because no one actually believed what was said. Because, you know, that was the excuse that, you know, John Kerry used for why he lost the key swing state of Ohio. Well, you had people telling voters that they had to vote on Wednesday if they were Democrat. Chasm and other words that sound really weird when I say them, John Kerry. I mean, I think it'd just be so fitting that in his addled state that he couldn't even get the DNC to move up their convention so that way they could be on the ballot in time, or so they could be on the ballot, period. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the good people of Ohio will find a way to rectify the situation and make it work out for President Biden. Because, you know, we just can't go out of our way to keep people off the ballot. Oh, wait. Colorado, how'd that work out for you? Where you intentionally tried to keep someone off the ballot? Oh, it didn't work very well, did it? Minnesota, didn't you try that too? And then seeing what the court ruling was, therefore setting the precedent that even your districts, your federal district court would have to, you know, recognize. Ridiculous. Democrats have been working to keep Donald Trump off the ballot since before he announced. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here to defend Donald Trump. I'm not here to make a case for Donald Trump. If Donald Trump wins the election, okay, fine, yay. Let's just get through the next 4 years and hopefully someone better is waiting in the wings. But at the same time, when this stupidity is going on, and they expect you to not notice. They expect you to not care. But they will still throw their little whiny fits at, oh my gosh, we didn't fix this. Our show's not going to be all about. I'm sorry. You don't get a lot of sympathy from me if that's the case. All right, so the last story. I promise this is the last story. So there's this immigration scam that in order to keep an illegal alien from being deported, if they are the victim of a crime, they can get what they call a U visa. This U visa, basically, we're going to hold you. We're going to make sure you're able to stay here until we get this whole, you know, crime thing settled down, because you were mugged and we have the mugging on camera, but by God, we're just going to keep looking for the mugger, even though we can't see their face on the security camera. Well, it's a very, very interesting scam in which, you know, the illegal immigrants pay somebody to pretend to rob them, to maybe rough them up a little bit. So that way they get that U visa so they can stay. Well, things went a little sideways in Texas during one of these scam style assaults. An unarmed bystander in Texas did what Texans often do in January and used his firearm to stop what appeared to be a violent robbery in progress. Now, police are saying that the robbery was in fact staged for the benefit of a fraudulent visa application. But the robber, is dead. And the fake victims are apparently nowhere to be found. According to KRTK-TV, the incident occurred at a Houston gas station on January 27th of this year. Houston Police Department initially believed that the gunman, who has not been identified, opened fire on Rashad Scott when he saw Scott apparently attempting to rob a couple. Scott later died of his wounds. I really wish I was wearing my FAFO shirt right now, because I'd be holding that up, pointing to the letters. He effed around. He found out, and he did not like what he found. Curiosity killed this cat, and there is no satisfaction that is bringing him back. Further investigation, however, indicated that Scott and a potential partner regularly ran a scam that was designed to help illegal aliens commit immigration fraud. The scam is designed to help immigrants obtain a U visa, like I said, which is given to the individuals who are victims of crimes and are permitted to stay in the country as potential witnesses while their crimes are being investigated. Under the scam, someone states it's a robbery somewhere, that there are security cameras such as at a gas station, and then the victim then get to stay legally in the country, often for years, as the case goes unresolved. When police went through Scott's phone, they found numerous texts between Scott and one of his partners laying out the schemes, as well as selfies with Scott and the alleged victims of the robbery. Yes, if you're going to fake a robbery, do not be taking selfies with your fake victim. Oh my God, Doc Thompson, where are you, you son of a gun? This is where Doc Thompson would drop a pro-criminal tip and explain to, you know, potential criminals, hey, here's something you should avoid doing in order to be a successful criminal. Doc was always looking out for those entrepreneurially. That's a big word. And I don't have enough bourbon in my system to make it come out. That is what he would do for all these business-driven individuals who are just trying to make a go of it. He would support them in all the ways, including the criminals, because, you know, criminals are people too, and they just need a little help sometimes. They need someone to point out, well, this is some flawed thinking. This is a clear evidence of a lack of planning. So Doc would give out those great pro-criminal tips because, you know, not everyone wants to be just some run-of-the-mill petty thief. They want to be the Grand Master. They want to be the one who steals the Mona Lisa. And so you need these pro tips to be able to help get you from petty thief to amazing best art thief in the world. But anyways, I digress. This whole idea that, you know, people are willing to do this, and I am glad that the Houston Police Department did not file charges on someone shooting someone who was not, in fact, committing a violent crime. That's not to say he wasn't committing a crime at the time, because, you know, conspiracy to commit fraud, conspiracy to commit immigration fraud, I mean, those are some pretty big charges for, you know, white-collar crime. But the whole idea that, you know, I said he effed around, he found out. In Texas, in certain areas, you do not want to stage a violent robbery. Because if you stage it, then there's a chance that someone seeing this fake robbery happening is not going to know that it's fake. Like, 100% of people will see it and go, okay, that's not fake. The number of people who will actually insert themselves into the situation is considerably smaller than 100%, but in Texas, it's probably 30. We'll call it 30% of the ones who don't just ignore the fake crime going on. So with that 30%, who has a baseball bat in the bed of their truck? Who's got a big sharp knife? Who has a gun? These are questions you can't answer right away. So the pro-criminal tip is as tempting as it is to pick a fake fight and initiate a fake robbery in front of a busy gas station in Texas. You might want to back that up a bit and find some port, find a place, yep, in a completely different state. All right, so that's going to wrap up the show for this week. Again, thank you so much for joining me. If you are new as a podcast listener, I ask you to do four things every week. Item number one is please subscribe or follow if you're using this on iTunes. Subscribe or follow. After that, please give the show a listen. Maybe a few episodes, just kind of, you know, get a real feel for it, not just one episode. And then write a review or rate it. Rate it first. Rate it. I'm looking for 5 stars. I will accept 4. 3 and below, hit me up on Twitter at FakeTylerMorgan, and my DMs are open. We will discuss why you felt I was a 3 or below. Once you've rated it, then write a review. Aha, I knew I would get around to it. Write a review, say something nice about the show. Maybe you're not a huge fan, but you don't want to hurt any feelings, and so you kind of want to sugarcoat it a little bit. That's fine, too. I'll also accept some embellishments on behalf of those giving me 5 stars. But anyways, once you have reviewed it, and you've said some nice things, or maybe said something that wasn't 100% nice, but it was honest and not insulting, please share this episode. Send it to someone who you think will like it. Don't worry, those little lefties who are getting ready to blow up the reviews with all sorts of mean things. You know someone who will enjoy the show. Maybe you enjoy the show, even if you don't agree with anything I have to say. That's fine. I will not stop you from enjoying this show because, you know, I believe everyone should be exposed to all sorts of opinions, whether they agree with them, whether they're, you know, just kind of outlandish, or they're just absolutely horrible. Everyone has a right to state their opinions. So maybe you're one of those lefties who goes, I don't like him, but he makes some points that are good, but I just can't find myself agreeing. I appreciate you guys more than anyone, because you go out of your way to listen to someone you don't necessarily like. That means a lot to me. Anyways, once you've rated it, shared it, Yeah. Once you share it, that's it. I don't have anything else for you after you share it. Come back next week and wait for the next episode. Again, if you're subscribed, like I said, to do in the first place, you'll see it pop up on your iTunes notification or your Apple Podcast notifications, your Spotify notifications. There's a new episode. Check it out. It's great. Thank you so very much for listening. And as always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com, link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.